Acts chapter 2 begins in this way, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. When one hears the word Pentecostal, what comes to your mind? Well, some will say it was the day when the Holy Spirit was sent to this earth to dwell upon God's people. And that's true. If you turn to Luke chapter 24, our Lord's last instructions to his disciples before he ascended to the Father were these. In Luke 24, verse 50, verse 49, he said, "And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. He told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry there until they be endued with power, the power of the Holy Spirit. That was 10 days later. This was on the 40th day after our Lord arose from the grave. And he sent them to tarry in Jerusalem. And in Acts 1, verse 8, which we read Wednesday night, our Lord said, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." So, when you think of Pentecost, it is the coming, the day of the coming of the Holy Spirit to dwell upon God's people. All of them. Not just the prophets. In the beginning, in the early days, God spake to our fathers by the prophets. But then the scripture declares, in the last days, they shall not say one to another, "Know the Lord." They shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. They'll all be filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then, what do you think of when you think of Pentecost? Well, some will say, well, the gift of tongues. And that, we read that. It says in verse 3, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And they did speak, and every man heard the gospel in his own language. But that's nothing amazing, really, because at the Tower of Babel, everybody spake the same tongue. And suddenly, after they'd tried to build that tower to heaven, God confounded their languages. And they all began to speak with different languages and went their separate ways to dwell in other places of the earth. So God Almighty is the Father of language. And tongues in the Scripture always refer to a language that can be understood by somebody. That's right. That's right. Look at verse 6 here in Acts 2. "And this was noised abroad, and the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language." Not an unknown gibberish, but his own language. It says the same thing in verse 11. "Cretes, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And some people in this day, and have for, I guess, 150 years since this thing has been in progression, this unknown tongue, they say, well, tongues are a sign that you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. No, they aren't either. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Tongues are not a sign at all to believers. Tongues were not given to be a sign to believers of anything. Tongues were given to be a sign to unbelievers of the power of God. Each man heard the wonderful works of God in his language. They were signed to unbelievers. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to believers. You see that? Underscore that. Tongues are a sign, not to them that believe. We don't need signs and wonders. We have God's Word. We have His promise. We have His Son. We have His Spirit. But tongues are a sign to them that do not believe. But prophecy serves not for them that believe not. They don't believe what we preach. But prophecy serves for teaching to those who do believe. You believe, and you're edified through the Word. People who do not believe are not edified through the Word. So God sends them signs and wonders. And they hear the gospel in their own tongues. It's a sign for unbelievers. All right, thirdly, what do you think of when you think of Pentecost? Some people say, well, it's when the Holy Spirit came. Secondly, it was when these disciples preached the gospel in other languages, miraculously. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2 just a moment. And these signs were to confirm the ministry of these men. Hebrews 2, verse 4. Verse 3. Hebrews 2, 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed by them unto us, by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, bearing witness that these men spoke for him, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. God gave these apostles, these early believers, these gifts for unbelievers, for these people of all nations to hear the gospel, to hear the truth. All right. Then sometimes when you mention Pentecost, people think about great crowds and great conversions. Like over here in chapter 2, verse 41. That happened when Peter preached at Pentecost. It says in verse 41 of Acts chapter 2, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the Lord, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 conversions. 3,000. We have an old song used to sing when I was growing up. Lord, send the old time power, the Pentecostal power, the floodgates of glory open wide. Lord, send the old time power, the Pentecostal power, that sinners might be converted and your name glorified. Well, when we mention Pentecost or Pentecostal, those are the things that occur to people's mind. But what is Pentecost? What is Pentecost? Now, I'm not going to the Old Testament and read about all these different festivals and feast days. You can read it. Let me give you the reference. Leviticus 23, beginning with verse 4. These are the festivals. These are the feasts of God that Israel kept. First, there was Passover. You're familiar with the Passover. It originated in Egypt. When God would deliver Egypt, or deliver Israel out of Egypt, he told them to take a lamb without spot or blemish, separate it from the flock, put it up for 2 or 3 days, observe it, and then slay the lamb and roast it with fire and eat the flesh, put the blood on the door. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And from that time until our Lord Jesus came, who is our Passover, who is our lamb slain, who is our atonement, who is our redeemer, Israel kept the Passover. The Passover, on a certain day of a certain month, they kept the Passover all those years. And then, the first day after the Passover, Sabbath, there was the waving of the sheaf. A sheaf is a bundle of grain. It's the first fruits. There was the feast of the Passover. And then on the first day after the Passover Sabbath, there was the waving of the sheaf, the waving of the first fruits before the Lord. They went out at the beginning of the harvest and gathered the very first fruits and brought them to God and weighed them before the Lord, because every product of the soil is of the Lord. And everything we eat and wear and use came from the soil. All of God. And Christ is the first fruits of them that slept. He's our feast of the first fruits. He's the first fruits of them. Then, Pentecost. And Pentecost means 50th. And you number 7 Sabbath days after the Passover. And one day. And that's Pentecost. The end of the harvest. The feast of praise and thanksgiving to God for all His mercies and for all His works. Now, it had the Passover, it had the Feast of the First Fruits, and now, everybody from everywhere, the end of the harvest, was gathered at Jerusalem. You heard me read, all these Jews from every nation under heaven were there to keep the Feast of Pentecost. And God chose at that time, to send the Holy Spirit upon His people. He told them that He would. God chose at that time to begin the worldwide witness and ministry of the apostles. This was their first venture alone without their Lord. This was their first standing alone after He'd gone back to glory, filled them with the Holy Spirit. And that's their ministry. He said they should do greater things than I do because I go to my Father. And He gave them the gifts and the miracles and the power to do great things. This is the beginning of the ministry and witness of the church. And this is the time when God Almighty bore witness of the power and presence of the Lord upon men. If we hear from God, we'll hear through a man. The Scripture says, how shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And God has sent them. And God has anointed them. And God has given them the gospel. And God Almighty uses them to preach the gospel, because at that time, through their preaching, 3,000 people heard the gospel, believed the gospel, and confessed the gospel. But the chief issue, the chief factor at Pentecost was not the mighty wind. I know when that happened, they were in this building, and who knows what a mighty wind that was. I'm sure that attracted a lot of attention. It was not the cloven tongues of fire. That's not the chief issue. That's not the chief factor at Pentecost. It's not the cloven tongues of fire. And I know people use that sign now as a sign of religion. It wasn't the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's not the chief factor. That is a factor. It's not the gifts and miracles of tongues. It's not the mighty crowd. All of these things attracted attention. Held their attention. They were amazed. They were astounded. That's what they used here. These people were astounded. They were greatly troubled. But all of these things, the wind, the cloven tongues, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the tongues, all of these things faded into the background when Peter stood and preached. And I want you to listen to him here in verse 14. Peter stood up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and he said, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, hearken to my words. Hearken to my words. These men are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it's the third hour of the day. But this is that spoken by the prophet Joel. All right, let's turn back to Joel and see what Joel said. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28, Joel is prophesying years before Christ came. And here's what Joel's saying. Let me tell you why you find it. Let me tell you what he's saying. Joel is saying the last days are the days of the coming of the Messiah. That's the day of the coming of the Messiah, the last day. Secondly, and the Spirit of God will fall upon all who believe, not just special prophets at special times. And thirdly, God will show wonders and signs in the heavens. The Lord will give you a sign, a virgin shall be with child. The Son of God came. Signs in the heavens. The sun will be darkened. It was when he died on that cross. The moon turned to blood. God will show mighty signs. And fourthly, and the gospel will be preached to all nations. And whosoever, not just Jews, not just natural sons of Abraham, but whosoever himself will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what Joel prophesied for these last days. Listen to it here in Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterwards, that is in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters, men and women, young people, shall prophesy, shall understand the Scriptures, shall teach the Scriptures to one another. Your old men will dream dreams, and young men will see visions. And also upon the servants and the handmaids, in those days I'll pour out my Spirit, rich and poor, old and young, bond and free. I'll show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and terrible day of the Lord, that day of redemption, that day of, it is finished. It is finished. He bowed his head and God died in the flesh on the cross. What a miracle. And it shall come to pass because of his precious blood and holy righteousness and infinite sacrifice that whosoever shall call on the name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be delivered. This is Old Testament preaching. It shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion, that's the church, in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. Deliverance from sin, deliverance from darkness, deliverance from captivity, as the Lord said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And Peter said, that's what's happening here. Go back to Acts 2. And there here he explains it right here. In Acts 2, verse 17. This is what Joel said. It come to pass in the last day, saith the Lord, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men dream. It's like we met in Sunday school this morning. And here are ladies back there with the little children. Back in Israel's day, that wouldn't have been done in the temple. It would have been the prophets or the priests. If you wanted to hear anything, you had to go to the priest. If you wanted to hear anything, you had to go to the prophet. But your sons and daughters, men and women, gather and teach one another. You ladies gather in your homes and you witness to your children. You know Christ. You know the gospel. You're filled with the Spirit. The elders meet in the different classrooms and they teach. The pastor's preaching here. But if that's what he's saying. I'll pour out my Spirit on all. Not all natural flesh. All flesh save people, redeem people. It's by the Holy Spirit that we call Christ Lord. It's by the Holy Spirit we quicken. It's by the Holy Spirit we understand, we teach. And they'll dream dreams and see visions and have understanding. Verse 18, and on my servants, my handmaidens, I pour out in those days my Spirit, and they shall preach and teach the Word of God. That's not giving a woman authority to preach in the church, because Paul dealt with that subject. But they teach the younger women, they teach the children, and the men teach. But all my people, witness. Everyone's a witness. And I'll show wonders in heaven and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor and smoke. Come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now he says in verse 22, look at this. ye men of Israel, hear these words. Hear these words. Don't be taken up now with the miracles. It's not the miracles that save, they're just given to point to Christ. Don't be taken up with the gifts. Desire the gifts. But I'll show you a better way, and that's to love Christ. Don't be taken up with the wind and the fire and the signs and the wonders. Hear these words. The power of God is in the Word of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. It's the Word that quickens. It's the Word that gives life. It's the Word of God that saves, that reveals Christ. Of His own will begat He us with the Word. John 5:24 says, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And when he sent those disciples out to preach in Mark chapter 16, he said, You go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Power's in the word. Power's in the word. And listen to this, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. I was reading one of the old writers, and he said this, the men of Israel will hear the word. The men and women of true Israel, they'll hear the word. They love the word. They'll hear with a heart. And they'll receive it and believe it and embrace it and rest in it. They'll hear the word and believe it. All right, go ahead. Jesus of Nazareth, this is the issue. Jesus of Nazareth, a man born of a virgin, no ordinary man, but a man approved of God, anointed of God, ordained of God, sent of God, among you, raised up from among you, by miracles and signs and wonders which God did by him in the midst of you. As you also know, that's what Nicodemus said, we know you sent from God. No man could do these miracles except God be with him. Paul said to the Roman governor, this wasn't done in a corner. You're aware of all the signs that God showed through this man. Now watch verse 23. And him, this is Pentecostal preaching. It's not preaching about the Holy Ghost. It's not preaching about signs and wonders. It's preaching Christ. Him. To him gave all the prophets witness. It's the person that we preach, not the Spirit. It's the person, not a plan. It's the person. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel of God, by eternal counsel, Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Being delivered by a determinate covenant and the foreknowledge of God, known unto God all his works from the beginning, predestinated, predetermined, God delivered him into your hands to do what? Turn to Acts 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 26. Acts 4:26. Listen. The kings of this earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, with the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel before to be done. They're fulfilling Isaiah 53. It pleased God to bruise him. It pleased God to make his soul an offering for sin. It pleased God to put him on that cross. He used these human hands. But these human hands, though they did what they wanted to do, they did what God determined before to be done. Whom God delivered into your hands, and you with wicked hands crucified him and slew him. I want you to turn to Acts 13 a moment. Acts 13. This is such an interesting comment from the Apostle Paul. In Acts 13, verse 26. Acts 13, 26. Now, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. It's the word of God. The word of redemption, the word of life. For they that dwell at Jerusalem, and their rulers, back in these days, because they knew him not, they didn't recognize their Messiah. He came into his own, they received him not, the world knew him not. And they didn't know yet the voice of the prophets, like Joel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, which are read every Sabbath day. All these prophecies concerning the Messiah. Behold, the Lord will send you a sign, a virgin shall conceive. And unto us a son is born. A son is given. A child is born, a son is given. Listen, these things are read every Sabbath day. They have fulfilled all these prophecies in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desired Pilate that he should be slain. Crucify him. And when they had fulfilled everything that was written of him, from the promise in Eden's garden, he'll bruise the serpent's head, to the last promise in Malachi, they have fulfilled everything written of him. And when they fulfilled it all, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb and brushed their hands off and said, "We're through with him now." But God raised him from the dead. That's the message of Pentecost. That's all that God sent in that here at this time was not to give us something to play with and argue about and quarrel about and when the church started, when the Holy Ghost came, what the cloven tongues, what the mighty wind, what the unknown tongues and all. It's who is Jesus Christ? Who sent him? Why did he come? What did he do? Why did he do it? And where is he now? That's what Peter's preaching. You men of Israel, hear my words. Don't be taken up with these other things. They fulfill a purpose. God sent them, did it in his own way. But I'm telling you, Jesus of Nazareth, a man, the God-man, approved of God, anointed of God, sent of God, ordained of God, and proven by miracles and wonders and signs among you, which he did in the midst of you, as you know, him delivered by the determinate counsel, the covenant, the foreknowledge of God, you with your wicked hands took him and nailed him to a cross. You did what God determined before to be done. And you fulfilled every prophecy and every prediction and every purpose of God in the Old Testament in slaying that man. And then you took him down from a tree and laid him in a grave and went on about your religion. But verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible he should be holding of them. And David spoke about him. Everybody in the Old Testament spoke about him. To him gave all the prophets witness. And David said, I foresaw the Lord Jesus Christ, always before my face. He's on the right hand of God, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad, and my flesh shall rest in hope. Because God will not leave his body in the grave, nor suffer his Holy One to see corruption. But he raised him from the grave. Now, once you look at verse 29, I'll be brief on him. Who is David talking about? Well, men and brethren, Peter said, let me speak freely to you about David. These men loved David. David was the king of Israel, the God blessed him so mightily. They loved David and Abraham. Let me tell you about David. David is dead and buried. His sepulcher, his body, is in a sepulcher unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, the son of David, that's who Christ is, of the house and lineage of David, when our Lord asked those Pharisees one day, what think ye of the Christ? Whose son is the Messiah? They said, the son of David. Well, he said, well, tell me this. How can it be David's son, be David's Lord? They didn't know. Do you know? Sure you do. When you know that, you know the gospel. He's David's Lord because he's God. He's David's son because he's a man. He was made of the seed of David, declared to be the son of God. But God said, of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. David then, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ throughout the book of Psalms, that his soul was not left in the grave, nor his spirit, nor his flesh see corruption. This Jesus, not another, this same Jesus, hath God raised up, whereof we're all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed abroad this which you now hear, see, and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, God said to our Lord Jesus Christ, sit on my right hand, until I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, here's a summary of the message. Conclusion. Therefore, that all the house of Israel know assuredly, know with full assurance, a fact to be depended upon and declared and believed, that God, the Father, hath anointed and constituted and ordained Jesus Christ of Nazareth to be Lord of lords and King of kings, and has given him all authority in heaven and earth, that in all things he might have preeminence. And God the Father hath ordained and approved and appointed assuredly that Christ Jesus is the Messiah, the only mediator, the only high priest, and the only Savior of sinful men. That same Jesus whom you crucified, Lord in Christ. And the book of Revelation says this in chapter 1. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins, in his own blood. He hath made us kings and priests unto God. To him be the glory, the dominion, the power, forever and ever. Amen. Now tonight, when they heard this, seeing the wind didn't do a thing for them. Seeing the tongues didn't do anything but confuse them. Hearing the tongues, seeing the cloven tongues of fire, listening to these people talking their own language, didn't do anything till they heard these words. And I know religion today is taken up with screaming and yelling and shouting and singing and whoop-de-doo and all these things. But my friends, blessed is the congregation that can sit quietly and hear these words and receive them. This is your foundation. Honestly, with all my heart, I tell you, what a blessing that we hear these words and understand them. Thank God for them and rejoice in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing. Don't be confused and confounded. Be converted. Hear the word of the Lord. Oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. All right, let's sing Crown Him with Many Crowns, number 62.